Hello and welcome to the Gossip Stone podcast live. If you haven't heard us before, we are the Ocarina of Time Randomizer podcast, and we focus primarily on racing and the competitive scene, but also covered various other related topics for the community as a whole. My name is Emo Soda. Hello. Been stuck in Link's Awakening land for like the past few weeks, but with me today, I have Chuckles 501.
Did you hear that, Emo? Trez said that I was one of the favorite podcast hosts, which makes me better than Chimp. Okay, so let's just store that for future reference. Hey, everybody! I'm on the internet, everybody! Oh my goodness! We're here for the Essex Finals! And yeah, I couldn't be more hype than this match today. So let's go, people.
Yeah, big thanks to Trez for letting us be here, unlocking the door for us so we can climb into the commentary booth here. Well, not commentary, but pre-commentary, also known as podcast, episode 37 and a half. We usually do about an hour long, 2 hours, three, five, I think was our longest one. But and everyone at ZSR for also making this special live episode possible. Quick tournament recap for you if you haven't seen any of Season 6. Started all the way back in November with qualifier number 1 on November 19th, 2022?
Yeah, 2022, yeah.
Wow.
It's last year.
Yeah, there were 19 qualifiers and 259 people joined at least one race. Great turnout. Again, over 250 people, just like Season 5. The top 64 from the qualifiers advanced to double elimination bracket, including Chuckles, who was, 64th? Right?
I came 64th. I was the 62nd seed with two dropouts. I don't know how that happened.
Oh my God.
Nobody's found out yet.
Yeah, 65th through 128th participated in the Challenge Cup.
Oh dear. Wake up, Emo.
I'm awake. Good news, everybody. So 65th through 128th, which includes myself, a couple other people in the community. And that's already wrapped up. And that's now won by Alexis, a great French runner. Some were a little bit surprised that he was even in Challenge Cup, but things happen. People get added and removed this season. So all it comes down to qualifiers and seeds, randomness. So there's always going to be a bit of leeway with the placements there. But from the winner's bracket, we have Seisei's path. How did Seisei get here?
Yeah, as well, Seisei went straight through the winner's bracket, so won all of his matches getting this. So he is the unbeaten person. So people who are aware of how double elimination works, you need to lose two matches to get knocked out. So Seisei does come in with a one game advantage into this. And if Seisei loses, then he will get another opportunity, I think this time tomorrow, actually. And Seisei went through Zoros, Cini, Sora, Exodus, beat Ryu Kane in the winner bracket semi-final. So this is actually a rematch of the winner's bracket semi-finals. And then beat the crown jewel of what the hell's happened in the winner's bracket final as well. So Seisei's path has been interesting. A couple of newer opponents in the earlier brackets, that what we found quite a lot in the first round is that there are a lot of slip-ups in round one. A lot of people surprisingly took a loss in round one. But Seisei was able to get through that, beat Zoros, beat Cini, two very good up-and-coming runners, and then just kind of stalwarts of the Uta community, Sora, Exodus, and a lot of people thought Exodus was going to do really, really well and get very far. Seisei took him down. And then, of course, Ryu, who's back again in the grand finals. And then, of course, previous season champion in What the House Happened.
And from the losers brackets, we have Ryu Kane, somebody that's really kind of dabbled into a lot of different randomizers, aside from OTR, I think, also Majora's Mask, the combo randomizer, OTR, and MMR. I know he's playing Wind Waker.
Probably a couple other ones. Loves the boat game.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, Ryu Kane is a really solid player. I think he's going to take it to two games here, assuming Seisei doesn't take this one and just win, I guess. Winners round one, Wooden Barrel bested him. Then it's Marco, round two. Here you go. Okay. Yeah, the most recent Random Settings League champion, by the way. Fanta Tanked. Juke. These aren't getting any easier. Lost to Seisei in the winter semifinals, like you said, so this is a nice little rematch. Beat Gogeta in losers, sent him home. Spent Sponge home. Okay. And then What the Hells? They both had to just beat What the Hells to even get to the finals. Like, what kind of a ticket is that, right?
I know. And like that path for Ryu, I think Ryu's got the more difficult path, I think, from this. Like, Barrel round one, like, okay, like you don't really want to be facing Barrel round one. And then just beat Marco, you know, just clean out. And then, you know, Sponge and What the Hell was in the later rounds as well. You know, this is the reason why we've got a top 64 tournament, is that everybody is just really good. Like, people are just really, really good in this game now. And any path that's going to get you to the grand finals of this is going to be difficult.
Yeah, I think the community has just gotten a lot better year after year. It's just always going to be true. It's always been true. I think it always will be true, probably. But it just means that the gap is narrowing with each season. So, like, I think season 7, I mean, I've never really been a fan of the qualifying procedures to get to this point, to the top 64. But realistically, it's like one of the only things you can really do with so many people participating in the qualifiers. But they both had to play the same number of matches, win all of those. And then Ryu also had to beat Sponge and What Else in addition to all that. So definitely, I think, had the harder path. But who do you think is actually going to take this game one?
See, it's really interesting because, well, just firstly, just on the point that you said, you know, 259 people played one game of this qualifier season. Like, that is so many people when you think about it, playing a single, you know, game from 1998 that we're still playing today is actually kind of crazy when you think about it.
Right.
But I looked through a bit of the challenge and looking at kind of the last four people who came through, you know, Seisei, Ryu Kane here in the grand final, and then, of course, Sponge and What the Hells. And I think what I kind of thought about is that these are all kind of, you know, safe, balanced runners, aren't they? Like, they're not kind of uber aggro runners. They say very, very technical minded, you know, speedrunner in lots of different games. Not just here in Ocarina of Time Randomizer. You know, he plays very well. He plays very solid. And then Ryu has changed a lot as a runner, I think. So I think Ryu used to be a lot more aggressive. And I've watched a couple of the different matches from Ryu that Ryu's played. And I think Ryu is a safer runner these days. I think before, I went back through, he did like a season 5 review of all the runners and kind of what their kind of play style is like and what they're good at. And he had himself down as a soft, hard aggro player. And he's definitely not that player anymore. And I think maybe his S5, you know, disappointment maybe has changed kind of his play style now. So we're going to get two similar style runners, both high execution, both kind of balanced runners. And looking back at their last match as well, where they both kind of meted themselves after picking up their final hook shots, which was just, you know, Seisei was just in the well, and Seisei was just like, oh, if it's in the well, I've lost. And like, you know, like, mate, just go to the well. But yeah, I think we're going to see very similar play styles. Whether they change their kind of mindsets coming into this, following their semi-final matches, I think it's going to be really, 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 really interesting. I think Ryu's going to take this game. I really do think that they're quite even in runners and play styles. I think Ryu's going to take this. It's going to go down to the grand final, and then it could be anybody's game.
Yeah, that's. I can't think the hope here for everyone watching today, but I guess we'll see what happens. As for me, I think it's a coin flip. So if everyone just wants to flip a coin, let's all say what it is so we can group source our answers and data, you know, and maybe it would be close to 50-50. So,
I think it should be
one to watch.
I think that you had the bigger picture of the whole tournament, you know, thinking about your play style across all these tournaments. Like, you know, we had these players probably played 8 qualifiers. They've played, you know, how many games has Ryu played? Like, played like 8-9 games. We're down to one match now, and it just comes to this match. And in any given match, we know anything can happen in this game. We know that one slip up and it could absolutely, you know, be thrown for the runner. You know, one mislocation, one decision could really, really change anything. So, yeah, it really could come down to either of these runners.
Yeah, they both do so much. There is just so much with the randomizer community now, too. We have so many things going on besides this awesome grand finals, but we have League ongoing the next season. Hey, a lot of cool matches, divisions there. Just about to start the Mixed Pools tournament about a month or so from now. Next season of RSL, Random Settings League, has already started. You can just go ahead and play. We added pops, crates, and freestanding. So, in some capacity, but as for like season 6 as a whole, like, what do you think about these settings, Juggles?
Yeah, I think this was definitely the continuation from S5. Okay, we had S4. You know, I didn't play in S4. I was a watcher. I was an observer in S4. But we know what people would say about S4. It was a needed set of settings to get us where we are now. In S5, you know, people were playing S5 for so much longer after Season 5. And, you know, I think the Race Mods did a very sensible decision of just going like, right, S5 plus a couple of other bits, KZ skip band, you know, change the meta a little bit, go off and go forward. And I think it was a really good set of settings. I think everybody's really enjoyed it. But I do think everybody is ready for the next thing in the standard meta, which is kind of what the weeklies are doing for us at the moment. You know, we've got, we've had required only, we've had dungeon shuffle, we've had, what we got at the moment? We've got like shops and shortcuts and things like that is basically dungeon the name tokens of that setting. Yeah, and dungeon tokens. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think S7 is going to be kind of, you know, a really big shift. And I kind of hope it is a big shift. And, you know, we've had kind of two very similar tournaments. Let's just kind of throw everything into the barrel, shuffle it up and see what comes out. But what about for you, Emo? What's kind of your thoughts on Season 6 and Season 7?
It's kind of like Season 5 Part 2. Like, are we going to have a trilogy? Like, is mostly the same settings, except it's decoupled now. Sorry. or whatever. So it's like, okay, probably nothing like too wild. As far as like changes for like next time, I mean, I guess this year, later this year.
So if this is S5 Part 2, then you're saying this is The Empire Strikes Back and we are in the fight between Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. Spoilers for a film that's almost 50 years old.
But yeah, it gets his hand chopped off. It's kind of gruesome.
One of them is the father. I will let you decide. You and say so.
Now that'd be a shocker. Like, Luke, I'm your dad.
Like, okay, well, but something that we haven't said, like, it's a possibility because both of these are French runners. We've got an all French final. I don't know if that's the first time that's ever happened before. I think it might be.
Nope. We had Bonnaroo versus Marco.
Marco, absolutely correct. Yeah, in S3. So, you know, I know, Emo, you're kind of, you've said before that give you any French runner and you can beat them. You're like, you know the weak points in the French.
I wasn't talking about these guys, though. These guys are outliers. They're just unique. Like, if they were a rarity in like a trading card game, both of these players are like ultra rare, omega, you know, whatever the highest rarity is. So I think talking in generalities is or generalizations is doesn't really apply to these two runners, I don't think. So,
And I've kind of looked at their heads up record. They're like their matches against each other. Because one of the things that's interesting about Seisei is that he doesn't. Like, you mentioned all these kind of side tournaments that are going on to start off with and are starting soon, but Seisei keeps himself to himself and, you know, plays lots of different games. And I interviewed him after one of the matches. You know, maybe even like winner's bracket round 2 or 3 or something like that. And Seisei was like, yeah, I barely played Ocarina of Time Randomizer, but I'm feeling really good because of that elongated break.
Yeah.
And Seisei, one of the things he did do is he played in the first season of League. In that division, in the first season of League, in Division 1, was Ryu Kane. Okay. The two matches they played against each other in League were split 1 each. They actually both came first and second and both had the same record of 6-4. And Seisei won the division by the old League rule of fastest time. So if you don't think this is going to be a close race, then then I think you've got your head in the gutter a little bit. This is going to be really, really close.
Yeah, is it going to be as close as Bonnaroo and Marco, though? That one, I think it was like, they were both really close matches, but it was like, one was like 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Or so, so it was like in that neighborhood. You just didn't know who was going to win. I think definitely have the potential for that, so.
Well, Seisei and what the hell's in that winner bracket final, maybe the poggest moment of this tournament so far. You know, what the hell's was in Ganon's phase 2? When Seisei finished. So it was already pretty close. Seisei's already had a clutch finish. Will we see another clutch finish? Well, we've got 5 minutes to go before we find out.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's all I had. can just take a nice little break before Hagen and Milkweed get in here. But
yeah, I think we can definitely throw over to the two commentators now, maybe get their predictions and their thoughts in before the start of this race.